You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Play that, Yates.
Woo! Hey, Jay, I know you've been to football games.
Yeah, right?
I know you've been to big-time games. Have you ever been to a game with a crazy flyover?
No.
Like the military jets?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
No.
I just got goosebumps in our rejoin there when they showed the flyover. The flyovers is cold, man. It just gives you, oh, man. I was just, you know, I'm looking at Jalen Hurts and them, and I'm listening to them talk, and then they show the flyover. It just brings goosebumps to your body. And I just, that's why I ask. I know in basketball, obviously, you're in an arena, so you'll never get a flyover. But I figured maybe you were at a game where they had, like, a big-time flyover.
You know what I want to ask you, Keita? I can't believe we've been on the air for, we've been on the air together for 2.5 years now, and I have
too
not
long.
Asked you yet. Because I've been to NBA finals. I played in a national championship in college. Like, I get that feeling. I can describe it. Like, how would you describe to people what that feeling is pregame on the field of a Super Bowl?
Pregame of a Super Bowl. So,
just like running out on that field, man. Like, in that moment.
There. Yeah, I really, to be honest with you, Super Bowl is really the only game in my career that I cannot describe in detail from beginning to end. There's bits and pieces of the Super Bowl that I can remember, but for whatever weird reason, I don't remember. I mean, I remember going out as a team. I remember standing there in the national anthem, and I don't even know who performed the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Locked in, huh?
At all. And I've been asked this question a lot. I'm like, I don't really know.
Great question and an interesting answer, Key. Jay just said you're locked in, huh? Do you think it's because that you had to be so locked in for that game, like so in the moment in that game, that's why the memory is the way it is, as opposed to other games where you're also locked in, but maybe not the same because it wasn't as important?
Yeah, that would be correct. I did not. I've always dreamed about playing in the Super Bowl as a kid, obviously college and into the pros. And I never wanted to be the guy, the Bill Buckner of the world, right? Ugh. So my focus was laser focus. I just never wanted to be that guy. And so, you know, it was just one of those deals where, man, no matter what, it was attention to detail at the smallest things. I mean, in terms of grading out in my career, statistically, I had a decent Super Bowl game statistically, but the grading out, meaning all assignments, blocking assignments, route running, clearing it out for other people, it was like I basically graded out at 100%.
Was that your best game, do you think, when you pay attention to all the details and every single thing you did to help the team win? Do you think that was your best game?
I think it was one of. I mean, when you start talking about divisional playoffs as a puppy against Jacksonville, again, another graded out game that, you know, for what I can see, it graded out very high on the scale. But that's because I was, you know, I was just zoomed in, I guess. I mean, I just, you know how it is, man. Regular season, you doing your thing, you chilling, but then all of a sudden, you locked in. But when you get into that postseason, ain't nothing. There was no going. I didn't go out. I just, like, stayed in my room. I watched the Australian Open. You know, I just was chilling. I went nowhere but in my lobby at my hotel to talk to family. I wasn't out on the town. I didn't go to dinners.
You can't go out on the town, though, Key. You can't, like, you know, like.
Oh, no. First couple days. Hey. Oh, no. It's dudes in the first couple days now.
Well, Jay, I was going to say, like, yeah, back in the day, we could do a lot of things because not everybody had access to camera phones and all that stuff. Like, these guys can't do anything now. But and by the way, your halftime, your national anthem was sung by the Dixie Chicks. Just to let you know.
That was his favorite group at the time, too. I can't believe you didn't remember that, Keith.
Yeah, you used to say you have them all the time. Like, that's what you listen to with your AirPods and everything on trips.
Most burn in his headphones.
I understand I attended a NASCAR event the other day, but I don't remember. Sorry.
Jay, what's interesting to me about Key's answer, and I want to get to Jalen Hurts in a second, but I find this very
interesting. I'm sorry, man. We went to the
right. It's all good.
Jay, what's interesting to me about Key's answer is he said he didn't want to be a Bill Buckner. Bill Buckner was the Red Sox first baseman in 1986 against the Mets. Ground ball went through his legs. Red Sox were about to win. They wind up losing the World Series. And what's interesting to me about that is I usually think of players who do well in big games, and I think of Key that way. I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, Key, but like I think of you that way, Key. I don't think of them as dwelling on the negative or because sometimes if you think, oh, I don't want this to happen, your imagination takes over and then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Did you feel that? But, Key, you just said, like you also said, when the ball was in the air and no one was around, that was kind of like the hardest catch because, man, you don't want to be the guy who dropped that ball. But you didn't. You weren't the guy who dropped that ball. Jay, what was your approach to those moments?
Well, you know, it was easier for me to get lost into the game because we didn't have as much stoppage as football has. Like, you know, Key would go and then stop and the defense goes on the field. Like, for us, it was constant movement all the time. So, for me, Coach K used to have us do all these visualization techniques where we just focus on, like, you know, Jay, you're going to come out of this game with 25 points and you're going to get 10 defensive stops. So, for me, it was like I got a chance to be lost in the sauce a little bit more of the game because of the amount of possessions in which we played. But if I was out of the game on and off, I'm sure I would have thought in my first national championship experience about, like, you know, maybe you have too much time to rethink a lot of different things.
That must be brutal in football when you have that downtime in between plays and stuff.
Yeah, I visualize, like, going to, like, before I go to bed, I don't know who has this ability or if everybody has the ability or whatever, but when I go to bed at night, I think about whatever it is, and I can dream it, too. I have a
weird man. Yeah.
Sense of dreaming, okay, focus in. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to take place. You're going to have to, on the toss sweep, you're going to have to go get Charles Woodson because Michael Pittman's going to be right up on your backside. Take Charles Woodson and drive him to the sidelines. And then when I get to the game, I kid you not, I do the exact same thing that I dreamt the night before.
This is the Coach K visualization type. Coach K is going to be on the show tomorrow.
He would do the whole – he would tell us all – he was like, I want you to think about you with all your teammates hosting a national championship trophy. Like, think about that. Go to sleep thinking about that because you can't do it unless you imagine it.
Right, and that's not to say to people listening that you just – you wish it and it comes true. You got to put in all the work. But in addition to the work, part of it is the visualization. Guys.
Well, I wish it would come true because I'd be like a quadrillionaire right now. Wouldn't even deal with y'all.
You're doing all right. Why does this Super Bowl run feel different for the Eagles, right? Why does it feel different? Because I had someone on this Justin Hit Show, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, handsome host, yesterday, named Sal Palantonio, who has covered, I believe he said all, but I know it's at least three of the Eagles' Super Bowl appearances. And listen, I found this really interesting, guys, to the difference between this Eagles' Super Bowl appearing team and the others. Listen to this. Sal covered them all.
Jalen Hurts, he's the CEO of this team on and off the football field. Now you go back to Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb. Who was in charge? It was Andy Reid. Andy Reid was in charge of the team. Start to finish, pick the plays, design the plays, call the plays. It was his football team. Donovan McNabb was a great, great quarterback. And then you go to Super Bowl in 2017, won by Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. Nick Foles was the backup taking over for Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts is without a doubt the leader of this team. Nick Sirianni is a great coach. He's perfect for this football team. But Jalen Hurts sets the tone.
I think that's really interesting, Key. I think like the fact that Hurts has that kind of position on this team, it's one of the reasons he's making his move up that quarterback hierarchy.
Well, if you look at it, Max, what happens when Jalen Hurts is not in? They lost games when he wasn't the starting quarterback. They lost with him the one game to Washington, but they lost the two games when he wasn't a part of the team. And so when you look at that, that speaks to exactly what Sal is talking about. When you think about Andy Reid's situation with Donovan McNabb, they figured out how to win games if McNabb was not in. For some reason, Andy Reid was doing it. And then you look, think about with Doug Peterson. When Doug Peterson got Carson Wentz, I mean, when Carson Wentz went to the left, Doug Peterson went to the right, picked up Nick Foles, put him in the lineup, and everything kept moving according to plan.
Look
so
at the record with and without.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you look at Jalen Hurts, his record at 16-1, and without him, they're 0-2.
You know, Key, it's like we talked about, like, first thing we may mention of when Sean Payton got the job with Denver was now the coach is bigger than the quarterback, right? So think about Russell Wilson with Nathaniel Hackett. It was Russell Wilson. So imagine if Russell Wilson had taken Denver from the beginning of the season all the way to the end of the season to the Super Bowl and have a chance to win it, right? Like, that is something similar, but how they're so different in that story is that now add the cool factor for Jalen Hurts. Like, for the way people look at Russell Wilson, people look at Jalen Hurts extremely differently, like the complete opposite, like the extra cool guy with all the swag that has literally gotten his team from the beginning of the season all the way through, all the way now to a championship, and it's going to potentially complete the task.
Here's, and you mentioned swag. It's here's just, I mean, it's just, what do y'all call it, drip, you young guys? Ain't that what y'all call it? Yates, drip, or whatever. His drip is just natural. I mean, it just comes with just who he is, man. And that's the way certain guys are. They just walk a certain way. They chew their gum a certain way. They wear their jewelry a certain way. Their leather coats look different. You know what I'm saying? I always tell people, no matter what, I can put on a white T-shirt while you got on a suit. I'm going to always look better than you. It don't matter. That's
Greats
just how
have to be
some people are.
They have to
you know?
Be authentic. If you
Absolutely.
Like, Joe Montana is authentic.
You missed that, though, Jay.
Yeah, he said...
You missed that, didn't you?
What,
I can put on a white
suit?
I can put on a white T-shirt while somebody else got on a suit. I'ma still look crispy. I'm so arrogant.
Can't beat white tee in some uptowns. You're good. Some jeans, you're good.
I rock black tees too, though. So
yep, but something about a white tee with those was white Air Force Ones, man.
Yeah, white tees every now and then.
Still wear Air Force Ones.
You got to be, you know.
What's up? What's up, Jay?
Huh? Never mind.
You still Air Force
well,
was what?
I said uptowns, and then I realized the rest of the country doesn't know what that is. It's
yeah,
Air Force.
Okay,
ones,
I,
right.
yeah, I heard
Air Force
Air,
ones,
Air Force
big,
ones.
Big ones.
Jay, yeah,
got wrinkled in the
got
front.
The Bill Belichick praises Tom Brady.
Yellow shoestrings are supposed to be white.
What?
Max.
Well, gray more than yellow. Bill Belichick praises Tom Brady as quote the greatest in an interview with the former Patriots quarterback.
Uh-oh. Ooh, I wonder like who he was Max. Talking to.
Uh-oh,
let's
Max.
Tease that.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good.
I will bet you any amount of money this dude is done. It's time to move on.
I do believe that
he's done. Probably does look at the Bucks. With all due respect, do I believe that I can win a championship there next year?
We lost one of the great ones, you know, but it's time and there's nothing left to do for him.
What's up there, young fella?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Bill Max, Belichick. If I had your hands, I'd cut mine off.
I can't call it, boss. I can't call it.
I can't call it.
Bill Belichick.
Come on!
Called Tom Brady the greatest. He was on Let's Go podcast. That's, of course, Tom Brady's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And said this about Tom Brady retiring.
The greatest player, the greatest career, the great, great person. It's such an opportunity and an honor for me to, you know, to coach Tom. And I guess it's got in at some point, you know, but it's the greatest one ever. So congratulations, Tom.
Now Tom Brady on his partnership with Belichick.
I think for me, there's nobody I'd rather be associated with. And I think that from my standpoint, I think it's always such a stupid conversation to say, you know, Brady versus Belichick, because in my mind, that's not what partnerships are about. Coach couldn't play quarterback and I couldn't coach. And I think the best part about football is, and coach says it a lot, do your job. And he asked me to play quarterback. He didn't ask me to coach. And, you know, I didn't want him playing quarterback. I just wanted him to coach. I'd seen him throw, so he definitely wasn't playing quarterback.
So take it away, Max.
Max.
Well, as you know, Tom and Bill and I are you know, always be connected in history, the three of us. they could deny it all they want. That is the number one, maybe the number two debate after Jordan and LeBron, right? Like, that occupies sports fans' minds. But it was for two decades of this century, the first two exactly, people were asking, is it more Brady or Belichick? They can pretend that thought never crossed their minds. That's nonsense. Of course they've considered that. They're human beings. Even just saying, like if someone said, don't think of a pink elephant, guess what you're thinking about, right? Like you, of course, guys with big egos, very competitive. I don't care if the rational part of your brain says, well, we need each other. Of course they want to know, is it more this guy or that guy? If we want to know, you think it never occurred to them?
But it's so, Max, before Key goes down this dark alleyway, which you bring him down every time we go and
yes,
through the subject.
Come with me down the dark
alley. I do just want to reiterate to you, like, and I know that in order to make the conversation simple, we like to equate things to like mano a mano. This is a team sport, man. It's a team sport. So, like, realistically, a lot of us athletes and coaches know that we can't do anything on our own. Tom Brady has never done it by Tom Brady's self, like his own. It's been with the likes of other teammates and players. Like, it takes two to tango. You know, so like this whole world where we just separate them, like, who he could have done, like, it would never, it's the perfect marriage. That's what makes teams so special and unique.
Jay, I think, you know, when I say, hey, you're arguing against a straw man sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I think, like, what I mean by that is you're arguing against an argument I haven't made. So it's easy to go at a straw man because they can't say, right? I haven't made the argument, and nor are other people, I believe, saying they can do it on their own, or that it didn't take two, or that marriage wasn't the most successful in the history of football. All that's acknowledged.
Okay.
In addition to that, the question arises, but who was more responsible? In other words, could one do it without the other? And well, the answer
so
has
who
been,
who was more
even
responsible
though,
in the Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan scenario?
Jordan.
Okay.
The answer in this case was I just assumed it was Belichick who was more responsible. He's the coach. This is football. Look how prepared his teams are, the defense, the special teams. There, but then Brady went somewhere else and won a Super Bowl, and Belichick has not won a playoff game.
So is the player always more responsible, pretty much?
No, I wouldn't say so.
I would say so because I would say the player in those critical moments needs to make the plays. Like, the coaches can develop the vehicle. Right? The coaches give you the vehicle, but the coaches can't drive the car. The best players are the one that has to drive the car and make the plays when it matters the most.
I think it's the case in basketball for sure, but football, there are so many pieces that even the quarterback, maybe until recently, I don't think is more important than the head coach if it's a great coach. That's why I am surprised. The reason this interests me is I thought, okay, now we're going to see it. With Belichick, look how good the Patriots.
You want to spread some germs.
That's well, other than that, Key, other than that.
Look, man. Brady left and went from New England to Tampa Bay fully loaded. The deck was stacked.
He stacked the deck
okay,
for sure.
He went to a coach, or better yet, three coaches that were good at their craft at that time. And Todd Bowles defensively, okay? Bruce Arians is a head coach, dictator, whatever you want to call it. And Byron Leftwich as an upcoming play caller. With Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk and Antonio Brown and Fournette and all of the defensive guys, the Sues of the world and all those dudes. And they hit and ran into a Kansas City Chiefs team that had you playing offensive line in the Super Bowl.
Key, in other words, it doesn't prove anything. It's just a piece of evidence.
Yeah, but
what,
you try to prove a point.
Because that's one piece of evidence. This is what I was expecting. Whether or not Brady won the Super Bowl, I was expecting the Patriots to be better than they've been.
How you gonna expect the Patriots to be good when they ain't got nobody? They messing around. They messing around in a COVID year with. They messing around in a COVID year with a quarterback in Cam Newton who's coming off an injury,
so get
with no other player.
That's the quarterback.
I'm okay with Max questioning his GM skills. If we're questioning draft selections and what you're doing with the roster, okay. But like that doesn't mean that he's less of a coach because he's made some poor decisions.
But he's been doing.
Jay, just so you know, let me state very clearly, he's a great coach. I'm not.
Let me bring you under the hood.
Yeah.
He's been doing the same thing in terms of drafting and signing players. Since he's been the head coach,
Tom Brady.
I understand.
The difference is he doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. Yes, but now he's gone, and without him, he can't win a playoff game.
Stop.
That's what's happened since then. I'm not making it up. I'm more surprised than anyone. That's why it's a big
The team was old. The team was old, man. Okay, they didn't have any playmakers.
May I ask a question?
They had to find those guys and bring them up. Let's see where they're at this year. Let's see where they're at now.
How about this, Key? How about this question for you? Moving forward with the way the NFL is trending, do you still think the way Bill Belichick actually drafts talent and his system will be effective in the future of where the league is going?
He drafts talent, and his system is the same as everybody else drafting talent. They evaluate what fits in their system.
But he's not as good at it
because he hasn't won any playoff games.
Oh, Max! But I'm talking about, shut up!
I'm not making it up.
Like a quarterback with the way the league is trending, with drafting quarterbacks and things of that sort, right? We still say that they have one of the most traditional quarterbacks in the league.
Yes.
Like that's a Bill Belichick pick in the draft. That's what I'm saying. Like, does he need to change a little bit of the way his system is in order for them to continue to reach the top?
I don't think so.
So you think they can win with Mac Jones? How you think they win the Super Bowl, Mac Jones?
No, I got to see
what Bill O'Brien does with Mac Jones, because as of right now, as it currently stands, no.
Okay. I have a question I'd like to ask, guys.
No, I do not.
I have a question.
No, Max, we don't want you to ask any more questions.
I have a question. Is Ja Morant hurting his chance of being the face of the NBA? See, you didn't know I was going to ask that question, Jay. Keyshawn,
okay,
Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
This guy's slick.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA guys issued a FedEx Forum bans after investigating a post-game incident. The Athletic reported that acquaintances of the Grizzlies' Ja Morant confronted members of the Pacers' traveling party near Indiana's bus in the FedEx Forum's loading dock area after the Grizzlies' 112-100 win that night. The Athletic reported a laser coming from an SUV that it reported Ja was riding in was pointed toward Pacers players, coaches, and others in the loading area. The Athletic reported it was not known who shined the laser, which it reported some feared was attached to a gun. Ja Morant tweeted Sunday, did an investigation, seen they were capping, still let an article come out to paint this negative image on me and my fam, and banned my brother from the home games for a year. Unbelievable. Guys, Jay?
So the report also said, and I know people that have been at Memphis games, that some of those same individuals are outside yelling at the bus for a while, and them and Pacer players are going back and forth yelling obscene things towards each other. Like, here's all I'm going to say to Ja and his team, because I think Ja is one of the most dynamic players we have in the game of basketball. And Shannon Sharp did a great job. I just want to acknowledge him yesterday on what he said on his show. And I have similar sentiments about, you know, at a certain point, Key, I love all my friends, right? But, like, one of the things I've always loved and respected about LeBron and his crew is that his crew has evolved with LeBron for what they represent, because they represent LeBron and their own business interests. And at the end of the day, Ja has to recognize that if friends aren't making the best decisions around him in his interests, in Ja Morant Enterprise's interests, then he has to limit where they are around him in his life. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has a chance to be a player worth hundreds of millions of dollars, a guy that has a chance to be the face of the NBA. And at a certain point, he has to have a sit-down talk with his homies and his loved ones by saying, yo, whatever your actions are reflective on me. So before you open your mouth or before you decide to engage, I want you to think about how that affects me. And if they can't get on that same page, then they have to be friends in a different kind of way in your life. And this is something that all athletes have to face. Guys have talked about it since the beginning of time. And, you know, I want Ja to win in the game of life, and I don't want his reputation to be like, hey, like he's around these people that don't have his best interests at hand, Key.
You know, when you grow up a certain way and you become a professional athlete and you make a whole lot of money, it's very difficult to part ways with people that you've grown up with, family members, friends, best friends, whatever you want to call it, because you have a sense of responsibility for them. But at some point in time, that responsibility has to part ways if it's not going to go in the direction that it should be going in. It's not only on Ja, it's also on the people that represent Ja. It's also on the marketing people that represent Ja. It's also on the organization that he plays for to sit him down and let him know that this is probably not the direction you want to go in. Now, whether they was capping and faking like this is what happened to bring attention to Ja Morant and his family and brother, whether that's true or not, it's still something that's out there in the public. So what he has to now do is really what you are saying, Jay. He's got to say, yo, come on, man, let's just chill right now because we can't do this. Now, when I came into the league, as the number one overall pick, I had it wasn't no such thing as not having a crew and an entourage and a whole bunch of homeboys. But as I've always told my friends, we're going to eat together. The moment that something goes wrong, it's going to affect me. So we're not going to be able to eat because I'm the breadwinner and I'm the one that's put in this position so we all could benefit off of it. But if we're going to be out here acting like knuckleheads and doing things that's going to send a bad message, these sponsorship dollars are going to go away. Therefore, that means I'm not going to make the type of money that I'm supposed to make, which means that I'm not going to have the power to put you in a position so that you can make the type of money. So now, you know what I'm saying, we screwing everything up. And he's got to just have that conversation if he hasn't already. And they've got to accept it and realize that at the same time. We can't get all bent out of shape because, you know, there's always two and three sides to a story. There's no question about it. But the fact of the matter is that it's out there. And we've seen too many instances already with the Grizzlies' young team having issues that involve John Morant and his dad and other people in his family. So now it's time to take a step back and really assess the situation and really look at it and say, okay, what are we doing wrong here and try and correct that?
So I imagine it's difficult, especially for a young, you know, young people are susceptible to peer pressure, right? And especially if you've now made it big, there is pressure. Oh, you forget where you come from, or oh, you changed, or whatever. Well, of course,
I've changed.
Of course, you have changed. You're an adult now. You used to be a kid. You're dealing with international media pressure, let alone your like local market when you're on Jaws level.
Max, it's like when some of my single friends are like, Jay, you changed. I'm like, yeah, I have three kids and a wife. Yes, I've changed.
And hopefully your friends as they get older
really?
And your friends as they get older and you have largely introduced them to new parts of the world, right? Have changed too. You mentioned LeBron James, Jay. LeBron James seemed to me to give opportunities to people around him. And then they could do what they want with the opportunity.
Yeah, right? That's what
you
do.
He's not carrying dead weight, but he's giving you an opportunity.
But look what Randy Mims, look what Rich Paul, look what Maverick Carter, look what those guys have been able to achieve. I mean, you have Spring Hill Entertainment that's worth $1 billion. Rich Paul is the biggest agent in the game. Randy has Robot. He has all these different companies that they built out with LeBron. Like, they've elevated the way they thought. And, Max, I'll say this, too. Like, when people say, oh, you're not being loyal. I'm like, yo, loyalty goes both ways, man. Like, I can be loyal. Y'all got to be loyal to me now and making the right decisions to help me get there.
No question about it. But and sometimes, though, Jay, when you're so far, not you, but individuals are so far removed from the actual player. You know, they're not, like, right there with the player. They think that Ja Morant, for instance, is as big as they come. Nothing. Oh, they just going to blow it over and not really understand. And, no, they're not just going to forget about what just took place. So they do things, whether it's, you know, smoking weed at the wrong time or maybe having illegal weapons at the wrong time with guys, and they not really understanding that it's not going to be glossed over anymore. This is a different time in society when it comes to young black African-American males in sports. It's a different time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it takes a minute sometimes for guys to be left at the bus stop, okay, so to speak, which means I'm not rolling with you anymore for other people to get it.
There's
you know, every now
the
and then you start off you start off with 20 dudes. By the time you get to your eighth year in your career, you have changed. You're married. You got kids. You got a wife and kids that you have to answer to now. There is no more homies on the couch. There is no more homies doing this. That it happens, and he'll evolve, I'm sure, at some point in his career, because as this thing continues to unfold in his career, people around him will realize if we don't get a hold of these situations, it's going to affect what we're able to do as well.
Yeah, Max, I want to keep talking about this because this is a bigger conversation around the Grizzlies in general right now.
LeBron James needs 36 points to pass Kareem on the all-time scoring list and be the all-time scoring leader. Tune into NBA action tonight as the Lakers host the Thunder, presented by Indeed. Could he get it?
I hope he gets 10 points tonight.
Coverage begins at 10 p.m. Eastern on
Select. Because I'm going to the game
ESPN
Thursday.
Oh,
station.
You are? Okay.
He's saving it for Thursday, right? He's got it.
Yeah, against the Bucks.
He'll end
Sky
on 35.
Hook.
Oh, Bucks, Kareem. I didn't even think about that.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you. Max was talking.
Are the Grizzlies becoming the villains of the NBA? Or is it just a throwback to like when teams didn't get along with other teams?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I said yesterday this was a legacy moment for Ja Morant coming up. And I'm telling you guys, last night, it was block office.
Oh, he was ridiculously block office.
He was block office. You know that, right, Key?
Block office, Jay.
He just combined block buster and box office.
Yes.
Jordan Poole on skates. Oh, Lord.
Jay, I have no idea what block office is. That must be Duke English or something. But
block buster. What? I said block office.
Yeah, you said you talk box office and blockbuster.
You didn't even realize you said block office. I said it again, and you talk about, yeah, he was dealing and willing.
I'm coming in hot.
Max, the best part about that whole
dealing
scene
was
yeah, exactly. Afterwards, Key make fun of me. He said dealing and wheeling.
He reversed it. Wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Grizzlies are block office for sure. But are they becoming the villains of the NBA? Or is it just a throwback to when, you know, teams didn't get along with other teams? Here is Klay Thompson from June 17th, Warriors star guard. From June 17th, he's calling out Jaren Jackson after they didn't play the Grizzlies in the finals. They win, obviously, Western Conference. They win the chip, and Klay has this to say about Jaren Jackson after he chips up.
There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. That I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay. Sorry. That memory just popped up. You're going to mock us? Like, you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Jay, what is he doing thinking about Jared? He just won the championship.
So, look, this whole villain thing is funny. You know, in the 90s or the early 2000s, like, we didn't have villains. We just had squads.
Yeah.
We had hoopers that didn't like other hoopers. And there was nothing wrong with not liking other hoopers. Like, as a fan, you may not rock with Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks on my team, I think I rock with Dylan Brooks. Jaren Jackson tweeting at Klay Thompson, they just won a chip. Why is Klay Thompson thinking about Jaren Jackson? Because he owns real estate in that head, right? Like, Ja Morant, all these guys say they want all the smoke. Like, they're climbing up the chimney. I'm all here for it. I welcome it. I miss 90s basketball. I miss having rivalries in this game. I've also said that I don't think this is a rivalry as of right now because Memphis hasn't beaten Golden State when it matters the most. But it sure as hell feels like we're trending towards Memphis being there when it's all said and done. And they're still a young basketball team. There's still a lot for them to figure out. We just had a conversation about Ja Morant and what he needs to work on by who he surrounds himself with. But if that's Shannon Sharp getting into it with Dylan Brooks, if that's Jaren Jackson getting into it with Klay Thompson, if that's, you know, certain players on the team having issues, Desmond Bane being that, like, smaller, incredible Hawk-like personality on this squad – I'm for 90s style of basketball. Basketball today needs that in today's game so we can remember what it's like to not like your opponent.
Are they the villain? I mean, if you think about the villains, they won championships, though, too. Like Detroit, back in the day, they won a championship. So they played nasty in a certain way. So they became the villains to a degree. The Celtics with Larry Bird and company – they had one championship, so they played dirty, and they were villains to a degree. The Grizzlies hadn't gotten here yet. This all potential, right? So it could be, they could be manufactured, I guess, as villains. But like Klay Thompson said, like, y'all ain't really got there. Y'all don't really know what to take yet.
But let me point two things out. There's Klay winning a chip.
Talking
about Jaren Jackson. Yes.
But I'm just letting you know. That's the same thing.
The same thing
just happened the other day in the the AFC Championship game when it became Burrowhead. And as soon as they beat them, they let them know, like, oh, yeah, okay, Burrowhead, my you-know-what.
Yeah, but Cincinnati's been to a Super Bowl before.
I was smoking on Joe Burrow.
The way he said Burrow was so fresh.
So much about the hype is that, you know, and it's not that they're living in their head. They're just letting you know. I got what you said in my back pocket.
You've made that case. What I'm saying is there he is name-checking Jaren Jackson. And then also now Ja with someone in his entourage – with a laser pointer, right? And that's causing waves. And allegedly, that's right, because Ja says this is
and
not
it
what
wasn't
it, what
his
it
teammates.
Right. But I'll say this, though. Sometimes, rather than villain, we could say anti-hero, right? We could say they're the bad boys. Whether or not win a championship or rise to a level, they are and some people will root for the bad boy Pistons. Even before they won a championship, had a certain reputation, and it drew some people to them and turned some people off.
But, Max, think about your boy. You always talk about MJ, right?
Yeah.
Who did Michael Jordan and the Bulls add to their team that gave them that edge?
Bill Cartwright? But no. They, you know, like,
Dennis
who are you talking
Rodman.
About?
Dennis Rodman.
Oh, that
Dennis
was Rodman. A second
That was a
three-peat.
Second chip. Yeah, but
the
I'm saying, three-peat. But Bill also had some, Bill made some tough plays and elbows.
Well, they traded Oakley, who was that kind of edgy player, for Cartwright because they needed someone for six fouls on Patrick Ewing, right? Like, they needed someone who could play.
So every team has a player like that. Like, that's what Draymond Green was for Golden State. Still is to this mm-hmm. day. That guy that's chirping. So, like, there's been elements of it. But our superstars haven't been at the forefront of it. And here you have Ja Morant, who is barking just as much as Dylan Brooks, maybe not doing the same thing, right? Like hitting people on the sweet spot like he did Donovan Mitchell, which I would fight somebody too now. But like when it's your superstar doing that too, like then that carries to the rest of the team, which is different a little bit than like a Dennis Rodman, while Jordan was considered to be like the epitome, or Stephen Curry is like, oh, like he's the good guy, where Draymond's like the heart and soul. You know, like now it's Ja and all these guys
That's
doing
a great
that.
Great distinction. By the way, back in the day in terms of rivalries, Dr. J, who is considered like the gentleman of the NBA, he and Larry Bird had their hands around each other's throats.
Yeah, man.
The hands around each other's throats. It was different back then. Oh, so here's the question now. I have another question. I had a question for you last time that you didn't know. Here's another question. Are we building in? Are we starting to hear Mahomes doesn't have enough weapons excuse? Are we starting to build in excuses for a Chiefs loss? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.